Good morning.
We did not have all that snow that they were predicting. Taking a look here at our theme this year, that Christ is the head of this house. We come here to Lot and his wife. And we look here at this verse of chapter 19 and verse 15. Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for this day, for each one who's here. And Lord, we pray that our hearts might be lifted up to you in worship and praise. We give you thanks, Lord. I pray that you would be with those who may be ill in our midst, those who are battling any type of sickness. We do lift them up in prayer. Help Zhang Jia to get over, recover from her knee surgery. And we do pray for others, Lord, that you know their needs. Now, Lord, meet our needs today. You know spiritually where we're at. And I pray that you would anoint your servant, give the words to say, anoint our hearts, our ears, to hear and receive the message. And we give you glory and praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we look here at Lot. You could say that Lot was a good husband, but he was a worldly husband. Lot means hidden. Maybe you could say that hidden in his heart was his love for this world. Although it's hard to hide the desires of our heart, but maybe he tried to. But we see here that in 1 Peter 2:7, he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. So who was Lot? He was the son of Hanan, and the nephew of Abraham. Lot's father died in Ur, and he traveled with his grandfather to the place called Haran. And he accompanied Abram to Canaan. And after traveling throughout Canaan and into Egypt, Abram and Lot finally settled between Bethel and Ai. Now, Abram allowed Lot to take his choice of the land. And Lot chose Ai. Now, Ai means destruction. Abram chose Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. Now, the path of destruction may look very attractive. As he looked over that plain, it looked very good. And he saw beyond that the city of Sodom. And it was so attractive. It looked so good that he chose what he thought was best. And so many times the path to destruction is so lit up and so looks so good from the outside. And then we see Lot's wife. She was bad and also a worldly wife. His wife's name is not given, but we're told very clearly, and Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife. May we never forget her. Lot's family was a worldly family, but Abraham's family was a godly family. James 2:23 tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. But Lot was a friend of the world. We think of this here. Abraham believed God, James 2:23. It was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. He had a relationship with God. He was a friend of God. And we need to have that type of a relationship with God, that we believe and we're a friend of God. And then we see also here that friendship, there is the friendship with the world. James 4:4 warns us, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So we all have a choice. Are we going to be a friend of God or a friend of the world? And realize that friendship leads to loving the world. All right? To go down that path of friendship. 1 John 2:15 to 17 tells us, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So, we begin to have a friendship with the world, we begin then to go down that path of loving the world. So we have a contrast here between Abraham and Lot. As we compare these two, take note of what we can learn from these two men and from their families. First of all, I want you to take note of the locations. The Bible tells us that there were heavenly visitors that came to see these two families. In Genesis chapter 18, they first visited Abraham. And in Genesis 19, they visited Lot. I want you to take note of where they were. First of all, Abraham was at his tent door. He was a pilgrim and a stranger, only passing through this world. As reminds us in Hebrews chapter 11, he never forgot it. You know, what I have here is temporary. This is just a tent. I'm just a pilgrim. This is not forever. So he remembered that. And so when these three heavenly visitors came to him, this is where he was. But then I want you to take note of where Lot was located. Lot was sitting in the gate of a wicked city. And we see a progression here of Lot. Lot looked toward Sodom. So he pitched his tent with the door facing Sodom so he could see it. And that wasn't good enough. He then moved his tent nearer to Sodom. And finally, he moved into the city of Sodom. It was a gradual thing. And that's what often happens, our love for the world. It's a gradual thing. We're sucked in by the world. Our tent gets closer and closer to the world. And so finally we see here Lot is at the gate. And the gate indicates that he was a man of some authority. That was where the official business was conducted, at the city gate. And so worldliness is a matter of, first of all, the heart attitude. Lot's heart was in Sodom long before his body arrived there. And that's a warning to us. Our heart, what's hidden in our heart? Where is your heart? Where is my heart? Is it in Sodom? Even before our body moves there. He probably got his first love for the world when he went to Egypt with Abram. They went down to Egypt to escape the famine. They came back, and Lot was a different man. He never overcame it. And so we see Lot. He looked over this plain, and he saw these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and how attractive they were to him. Now, let's take note of this, too, that Sodom was a wicked city. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Maybe Lot was hiding his intentions in his heart, but the wicked city of Sodom did not hide their intentions. It was open. It was evident. And they do not hide it. Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. And so in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. And they served as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now, you know, they paraded their sin. And recently, archaeologists have discovered the city of Sodom, you know, where at the bottom of the Dead Sea, and they paraded their sin. Years ago, Sharon and I, we went on our honeymoon. We went to San Francisco, and we went there. We stayed in Chinatown. We enjoyed walking around there. But just at that time, we didn't know. We didn't know what the dates, but they had the gay parade at that time. I guess the end of June, every year they have a gay parade. They paraded their way of life. They paraded their choice and their wickedness. Now, it's very important for us to consider this. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? You know, this is not a matter of opinion. And someone asks you, well, what do you think about the homosexuals? And you don't have to give your opinion, but this is what the Bible says. You need to know what the Bible says. And no matter what the issue may be, this is what the Bible says. We need to know these five things are very important. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? First of all, it is a consequence of rejecting the created order. In Genesis 1 and 2, we already saw this. This creation order was endorsed also by Christ in Matthew 19 and by Paul in Ephesians 5. It is sinful because it violates God's original plan for a heterosexual agamony, marriage between one man and one woman. This was God's original plan. Paul also makes a theological argument in Romans chapter 1 that homosexuality is one of the consequences of rejecting God as creator and His created order. So we understand this is a day when people reject the created order. They reject creation. And this is what one of the consequences of that, the homosexual way of life, the homosexual sin. And so number two, homosexuality is a sin. It's not just a way of life. It's not just, they can choose. But it is a sin that results in judgment. And the first mention of homosexuality in the Bible depicts God's judgment upon it as a sin. The severity of the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, which came because of homosexuality, indicates the seriousness of this sin. All right, we look here what happened to this city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see how what God thinks of this sin. Now, it also is a violation of the Old Testament law. As we look in the other verses in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, we see that God calls it an abomination. All right? He did not allow that. It did not change. Here's the created order. It's a sin. And the law of the Old Testament also confirms that. It's also a violation of New Testament teaching. And we see that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, there many are deceived today. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. All right? That's very clear in the New Testament. But the fifth point is also very important for us to understand. Number five, it is forgivable. It's not an unforgivable sin. It is forgivable, and it is changeable through Jesus Christ. It's not genetic. It's a choice. Many times, unfortunately, as a result of maybe children being molested when they were young, but it's still a choice to continue in that sin. And so we see the last part of this verse. Homosexual repents and believes, receives the same cleansing, justification, sanctification as every other believer who turns from sin to Christ. So the last part there, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and some of them were involved in that sin. But because of God's grace, they turned back and they repented of their sin. And so we need to understand, if you're talking to somebody and they ask you about it, this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says about homosexuality. We need to know what the Bible says any issue. There's the authority of God's Word. We need to remember that. This is what God says. It's not my opinion, but this is what God says. And so we can share that with others. And then number two, the times were different. We see, first of all, that it was early afternoon when the Lord and His angels visited Abraham. Kind of a picture to us that Abraham was walking in the light. As 1 John 1 reminds us that we are to walk in the light. But when the messengers came to Lot, it was evening when the angels entered Sodom. Evening. It was dark. And it reminds us of the fact that Lot was walking in darkness. And so here's a contrast again. Are we going to walk in the light of God's Word, or are we going to walk in the darkness of this world? And then the third thing I want you to take note of the fact here is the visitors. We see here that the Lord and two angels, the Lord and His angels visited Abram in chapter 18 because he had an altar to the Lord, could fellowship with them. The three of them came to visit Abram. But we see then Lot, only two angels came. For the Lord could not fellowship with Lot and his family in Sodom. So take note of that. Chapter 18, 19. In 19, there's only two visitors that come. He had no altar to God. At that time, he was not worshiping God. He was worshiping the world. Even though Lot was a believer, his life was such that the Lord did not feel at home with him. And here is Paul's prayer to us. And I think it's something that ought to wake us up. That Christ might finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through your faith. We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we allow Him to sit on the throne of our hearts. There's our heart so full of this world that He's pushed off to the side. And so, take note of this. Visitors, the difference between these two. And then number four, hospitality. Abram carefully served these three guests, these three visitors. The east is very important, your hospitality. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them. He bowed low to the ground. He also hurried to prepare a meal for them. And then he stood by to see what further service he could provide. Was there anything else they need? I don't know, maybe he didn't get visitors very often. But you see here how he greeted them, the joy of hospitality. And we need to practice this biblical art of serving others, being hospitable to others, meeting their needs, whatever that might be. Compare that then to Lot. Lot, we see, he carelessly served them. All right? Yes. When he saw them, he got up to meet them. He bowed down with his face to the ground. Very similar. But then, you can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. You can wash your feet. Now, that should be the job of the host at that time. Somebody would come in, you would wash their feet from their travels, their dusty roads. You would wash their feet. You would watch to see that every need was taken care of. But he greeted them, but then you can wash your feet. He did prepare a meal for them, but then came the arrival of the men of the city at the door for immoral purposes. Now take note of this here. In Genesis 19:5, bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. You see the corruption of this city of Sodom. And Lot was willing to sacrifice his two unmarried daughters to the lust of the crowd. Take my daughters, but don't take these men. What had happened to Lot's personal values? That he would offer his daughters to satisfy the sensual appetites of a mob. How far had he come as a father that that he would be willing to do that. And then number five, compare here the messages, the contrast here. God's message to Abram was a joyful one. The good news, Abram and Sarah would have the promised son within a year. And they've been waiting for the promise that God had given them. They were without child. And he was 100 and she was 90. And here's the good news the messenger brought to them. But compare that to the news that the message was to Lot was a fearful one. The bad news. There was no good news here. God was going to destroy Sodom and everything in it. God would have spared the city had the angels found 10 believers. But since that was not possible, God mercifully rescued the believers that he did find, that they did find, these messengers. So God's messengers to the lost world is that judgment is coming. It's coming. But his promise to his own people is that he will rescue them. And it's interesting here, as we take a look at the influence of these two men upon their families and upon the world. Look at this as we compare the influence. First of all, Abraham was a spiritual blessing to his home and to the whole world. We talked about that last time. We talked about Abraham and Sarah. I have blessed you that you might be a blessing. And so he was a blessing to his family and the world. And because of his faith and obedience, Abraham had compassion and he interceded. He prayed for Sodom and particularly for his relatives, Lot. Now, perhaps Abraham stopped at 10 because he had been counting while he was praying. You see, there's Lot and his wife. Two sons, at least two married daughters and their husbands, and two unmarried daughters. So if you count that up, there's 10. 10. If Lot had had the influence upon his family, there were 10 there, that, and Abraham was praying for them. That those 10 might be, the city might be spared because of the 10 righteous. And yet we see this here that Lot had no spiritual influence on his home or on the city of Sodom. His sons, his married daughters, his son-in-laws all laughed at him. What are you talking about? Judgment from God? Who heard of such a thing? And they refused to leave the city. Even his wife was so in love with Sodom that she had to look, turn around and look, one last look at her home, one last look at the city. And that look killed her. She became a pillar of salt. God's judgment was upon her. And so Lot and two unmarried daughters accompanied him out of the city. Think of that. Four of them left the city. If there had been 10, the city would have been spared. Only 4 left the city. Actually, you could only say 3.5. 3.5 because Lot's wife turned around. What about my home? What about that city that I love so much? And then when they got out, Lot and his two unmarried daughters ended up at a cave. And we see here again the influence of Sodom, even upon his daughters. They thought that they would never have a chance to have a husband. Sodom was destroyed. And so they ended up getting their father drunk and committing incest with him. And the Moabites and the Amorites were born as a result of that, the descendants. And so what kind of influence did Lot have? And then number 7, their attitudes. Abraham obeyed God. He was even willing to, remember, offer up his son Isaac. He obeyed God. He believed God. He obeyed God. But what do we see here? Lot resisted God. This wasn't the first time that God had rescued Lot. Remember, he was a prisoner of war in chapter 14. And he was captured by the five kings of those cities and taken. And Abraham came with an army and rescued Lot. So God had rescued him before. And what happened? He went right back into Sodom. Unfortunately, we see this so many times. Someone who's rescued, who's addicted to drugs, goes to recovery, gets off the drugs, and then their old friends show up and they go right back into it. This lady that Sharon works with on Wednesday morning, Sandy is her name, and she asked prayer for her son who's in prison. He's getting ready to get out because of drugs. He's getting out. But she asked prayer for him because of the pool of his friends, that he would not go back into those drugs and addiction. God has rescued you. Do not go back to it. And that painful experience should have warned him that he was out of the will of God. But Lot did not heed the warning. Now God has to take Lot by the hand and forcibly drag him out of Sodom. He was dragging, his heels were down. He didn't want to go. But God, in his mercy, first Lot lingered, and then he argued with God. Well, let me go to the town instead of the mountains. And he begged to be alone, allowed to go his own way. Let me choose my way instead of being grateful for God's mercy and obeying his rescuers. Lot resisted them and created trouble for them. Now we pray for the hearts of those who are resisting God, that they would no longer resist God's call to their lives. Don't drag your heels. God wants to rescue you from that. It's for your good. You don't want to continue in that. God wants to rescue. He wants to save you from that. And then we see the consequences. Consequences. Abraham had a new hope. He's going to have a son. And new joy. So Abraham and Sarah joyfully anticipated the birth of a son that God had promised. They were joyfully rejoicing what God had done. And Lot, what happened to Lot? He lost everything when Sodom was destroyed. His home was destroyed, but more important than that house, his family was destroyed. Lot and 10 members of his family altogether, and only 3 made it out. And he himself was saved, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, yet as by fire. Dragging him out. His daughters gave birth to 2 sons whose descendants would be the enemies to the Jewish nation. But God delivered Lot because of Abraham. He delivered him. Remember the prayers of Abraham, the grace of God. It was wholly a matter of God's grace and mercy that Lot was delivered, that Lot was rescued. So we need to continually pray for those that we know are in Sodom, who are in the world, who are trapped by the thinking of this world, whether it be addiction to drugs, addiction to immorality, addiction to alcohol, whatever it might be, they need to be rescued, and we need to pray for them. Let the words of Abraham be a reminder to us that God would rescue them from that. And pray for Sandy's son. He has another chance. He's getting out of prison, that he would not go back. 1 Corinthians 3:15, this whole verse tells us that in the future, the judgment seat of Christ, it speaks here, if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. salvation is sure. But talking about the judgment for rewards, the judgment seat of Christ, saved yet only escaping the flames. Lot and his wife were conformed to the world. We're told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that we're not to imitate the world. We're not to be conformed to the world. We're not jello. Conform to the mold of this world. You know, what do you think? Well, whatever you think is okay. You know, you fit in the mold of the world. It's okay, whatever you think. There are no standards. Go your own way. Conform to the world. And all they that lived for went up in smoke and was burned under the ruins somewhere in the area around the Dead Sea. I've not had the opportunity to visit Israel, and I know several who have. And that Dead Sea area, there's all that salt in the Dead Sea area, but on the south end of there's a smell of sulfur. Sulfur, the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, still is the smell of that to this day. Lot and his wife are a warning to all believers not to love the world, not to become friendly with the world, or to be stained by the world, because the day of judgment finally comes. And while it's true that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of God's righteous judgment, it is true also that God's love for lost sinners is clearly seen in this story. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. God is graceful, full of grace. He holds back His judgment so that sinners will have time to repent. And He even pulls them out. As He pulled out, snatched Lot and pulled him out. And I think perhaps one of the most amazing things of this is that Jesus Christ died for the sinners in Sodom and Gomorrah. In His day, those who would not believe in Him, He said that they would be like, judgment would come upon them like came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who would reject Him, He still died for them, trying to rescue them and save them. But we as sinners are just the same. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved from the judgment to come. The inhabitants of Sodom have no idea that they were awakening that morning to the last days of their lives. If you followed the news this week, Hualien in Taiwan, the city on the east coast, Hualien, where Carissa ministers to and the children, the orphanage, had several big earthquakes this week. Several days in a row, earthquakes, 6 point something, and these earthquakes shook that city, and some of the taller buildings collapsed. We got a message from Shuyo Wei, Jim. Remember Jim, who came and visited us? He was going to college now in Kaohsiung and living with his aunt. So he went back to Hualien. He said, I'm going back to Hualien to see my home, to see what's happened, and see if I can help. Can I rescue them? Pulling people out of that rubbish. Life was going on as usual. Then the fire fell. When judgment comes, will you be like Abraham and not have to worry about the wrath of God because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or you'll be like Lot, that you'll be saved, yes, but pulled from the fire. Or like the people of Sodom, we'd be lost forever. Which one are you? Think about this. Are you Abraham? Are you Lot? Or are you the people of Sodom? One last verse I want us to consider here. And I'd like to ask all of you to read this verse with me together. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 to 7. We read this together, please. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come before you. May we learn from Abraham and Lot. Lord, I pray that we would not love this world, that we would not be drawn, hidden in our hearts, the love for this world, that we would pitch our tent towards Sodom, and then we move closer to Sodom, and then finally we're living in the city of Sodom, and we're even at the gates of Sodom. Lord, I pray that we would learn from Lot what happened to him and what happened to his family, that we might remember Lot's wife. Lord, I also pray for your mercy and your grace, that you would rescue, that you would help us, anyone who is in this world, that you would draw them out, that you would save them and rescue them from this world and from the pull of this world and the addictions of this world. And Father, from the thoughts of this world and being molded and conformed to this world, Lord, I pray that we would stand on your word and trust in you and believe in you, Father. Help us to learn from Abraham. And Father, I just pray the pull of this world is so strong. I pray for Sandy's son. He's getting out of prison this week. I pray that you would rescue him. Lord, help him not to go back. I pray for others that we know of who are in this world, that you would rescue them and that they would not go back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.